October 19th, and it is time for our morning announcements. Sunday school every Sunday is at 9 a.m. Bible study on Wednesdays, the doors open at 5 p.m. Class begins at 5:30 p.m. It's in person and Zoom. Tithes and offerings. Tithes, offerings, and benevolent may be put in the box as you enter the sanctuary before service, and or as you exit sanctuary after service. Our October announcements. October 25th, 2025, annual Wood River Baptist District Association Women's Auxiliary Conference is 9 a.m. to 2 p.m. Victoria Caldwell, one of our very own members, will be a speaker at this conference at the Union Baptist Church in Springfield, Illinois. If you would like to go on the church van, leaving at 7:30 a.m., see Beverly Gay. October 26, 2025, Pink Sunday. Please join us for worship in pink. we wear pink in October to celebrate breast cancer survivors, to remember those we loved and lost. Any questions, you may contact any committee members. They are Sister Elodia Collier, Sister Latricia Chris, Sister Tiffany Herks, and Sister Sharon McFarland. October 31st, 2025, Hallelujah Festival. Our events that are coming up, UMBC 2026 officers. All ministries that have officers are asked to please submit your 2026 officers to Sister Mamie, the pastor's secretary, no later than Wednesday, November 12, 2025. Hard copies of the election of officers form are available in the church office. The election is also available online through the church website, www.umbchurc.org, under Ministries. 2026 Announcing Clerk Ministry. The Announcing Clerk Ministry is preparing for its 2026 roster of participants. Announcements are read each Sunday morning at 10:10 a.m. Please contact Arlicia Duffy if you are interested in being a member of this ministry. Sister Duffy may be reached at aaduffy@yahoo.com. Please provide your name, email address, and phone number in your email. The UMBC Care Ministry. The purpose of the UMBC Care Ministry of our church is to strengthen relationships within our congregation by providing spiritual support, emotional support, encouragement, and supportive presence as needed by our congregation. UMBC Hallelujah Night on October 31st, 2025 at 6 p.m. Greetings. Hallelujah Night will be held on October 31st, 2025 from 6 p.m. until 8 p.m. There will be snacks, candy, and fellowship. Please pick up invitations for you to give to your family and friends. Put your name on the invitations, and the person who turns in the most invitations will get a prize. Thank you from Sister Countess Griffin. I have two cards to read. One of them says, "Thank you. You made such a difference, and it is so deeply appreciated. To my church family, thank you for your care during my surgery. Brother Sweeney." The other one says, "A special note of thanks straight from my heart to Pastor Williams, the Deacon's Ministry, the Care Ministry, the Men's Growth Fellowship, the Adult Men's Sunday School class, and the Lord's Hand and Feet. Words cannot express my sincere gratitude and love for you all. Thank you so much for your prayers, phone calls, texts, flowers, and hospital visits over the last couple of months. I thank God for the outpouring of Christian love and support for me and my family. And because of the grace and mercy of God and your effectual, fervent prayers, I can joyfully say I am cancer-free." From Brother Kevin Pierce and family. And now we have a special announcement from Sister Elodia Collier.
Good morning, everybody. Just a reminder, next Sunday is Pink Sunday, so wear your best pink. We're asking men, women, children to put on pink shirt, pink ties, pink skirt. Wear a pink hat if you want to wear a pink hat. But as a special bonus, if you get here early, ladies, there will be prizes. There will be giveaways at the door, so we are encouraging you to get here early. There'll even be stuff for the kids, so get here early and think pink. Thank you.
Receive our choir. God is a mighty good God. Things should get better to us than we've been to ourselves. Let us adhere to all the announcements that was given fire. Amen. Amen. Give them a hand. Amen. They're going to minister to us today.
Thank you.
Continually be in my mouth. He's a mighty good God, and He loves us just in a way. We welcome you to Union Community Choir Day. Enjoy yourselves. Let the Holy Spirit just take over and have His way in your life that you can freely give to someone else. God loves us just that way. And you in the parking lot, welcome, welcome. For this, make it personal, is the day that the Lord has made. I will make it personal. I will rejoice and be glad in it. He's that kind of God. For this is the day that the Lord has made. I will rejoice and be glad in it. Are you glad to be in the house of the Lord this morning? Oh. And He always promised. He loves us just that way. Let us start with our scripture. Matthew 22, 37 through 40. If you would stand, please, if you can. If you cannot, we understand. And it reads, what, 37 says, Jesus said unto him, Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, and with all thy soul, and with all thy mind. 38 says, This is the first and the great commandment, and the second is like unto it, Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. On these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets. Love God, love people. Let's say that again. Love God, love people. That sounds good. One more time. Love God and love people. Amen. While you're yet standing, our Lord, prayer. Matthew 6, 9 through 13, the King James Version. Let us repeat it. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done. In earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debt as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. You may be seated. Now we're going to have ministry songs from our choir. It's church, amen. Amen. One more time. Amen. Thank you.
come when you want him. But it's on time. In times of trouble, I found him to be a friend of mine. In time, don't worry. Thank you.
Amen. At this time, we want to acknowledge the ministry of music, Levites, amen, in the building. And today is what we call choir day. Amen. Amen. A part of, amen. Go ahead and clap. You want to clap? That's all right. What we want to do is pray for this ministry. Amen. Amen. Let us pray. Father God, we say thank you for your word that lets us know that these persons lift up a song to glorify you. And this is their service for the kingdom of God. So Lord, we ask that you bless them, that they will not just sing the song, but honor you through the way that they live, the way that they treat you, and the way that they treat others. Lord, because this is a ministry and we are light in this dark world. So Lord, we're not performers, we're not entertainers, we are worshipers, leading, guiding through song and gospel. Lord, we're saying this is for real. This is our Father's business. So Lord, we ask that you bless this ministry to live according to your will and your way as they practice and share the gospel through song and the playing of instruments. In Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen. Amen. Thank you.
Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. Father, we first of all thank you for waking us out of our sleep, setting us in this first day of the week, Father. Father God, we ask you to forgive us all our sins. Teach us, Father God, how to follow you and how to do your divine will, Father. Father, we thank you, Father, for the raiment you let us put on our bodies. Thank you for the covering of the Holy Spirit. Thank you, Holy God, for the food that you put on our tables. Thank you, Holy God, for touching our hearts, letting us know that we need to come out to the house of worship, where we worship you, Spirit, and in truth, Father. We thank you, Father, for your divine anointing, Lord, shed upon each heart here this in this church, Father. You already know what the problems are. You already know what our needs are, Father. I ask you, Holy God, light up on their hearts, Father. Heal them from all sickness, Father. Because you are a doctor that never lost a case. Touch their minds, their soul, their spirit. Help us, Holy God, to be about your divine business, Father. Help us to represent you upon this earth, Father. Help us, Holy God, to freely give as you have freely given us. Father, we pray not only for Union Missionary Baptist Church, but we pray for every church that summons themselves together in your divine name, Father. You are greater, Father. You are greater than the world, Father. Help us, Holy God, to stay on that straight road, Father. Enter the narrow gate. Help us, Father, to draw others that are lost to be found. And Father God, help us to study, show ourselves approved unto you. Help us be workmen needed not to be ashamed, but rightly dividing the word of truth, Father. You have already given us the power, Father, to bind Lucifer in every way that he tried to come against us, Father. We pray, Holy God, for the shepherd you put before this flock, Father. Make us home, love, peace, joy, and happiness. But most of all, Father, take him deep into your divine word. Let every time he open his mouth, he set forth your word upon our hearts that it may cleanse us where we need to be cleansed, Father. Help us, Holy God, to we always take the log out of our eye first, Father, that we see how to help our brothers and sisters. Father, we pray, Holy God, that we walk by faith and not by sight. Help us to lean not to our own understanding, but in all our ways, Father, help us to acknowledge you, Father. Oh, Father God, help us leave this place with joy, peace, goodness, kindness, love. Help us, Holy God, to go to others, Father, and give them your divine word that they may hear you, Father, and come crying out, what must I do to be saved, Father? Father, as the word come from heaven into your servant mouth, Father, help us to open our ears, Father, and open our mouth and eat the entire word, that it make us, Father, to be the servant that are pleasing in your sight. So when that hour come, when you call us home, we have to cross that great gulf, that you will be there with us, Father, that you will bring us unto the throne of grace and into your divine kingdom, Father. When we stand before the great white, the great judge, Father, let it be said, good and faithful servant, you have done all the things that I've asked you to do. Come on in and receive the joys of life. This is our prayer in the mighty name of Jesus. In the mighty name of Jesus. In the mighty name of Jesus, we pray. Amen, amen, and amen. Pastor's coming with the word of God.
If you're happy and you know it, clap your hands. Amen. God is worthy. I tell you, he's worthy to be. Amen, amen. Our praise singers, if you could turn off your mics, please. Amen. God is worthy to be praised. Amen. Amen. For truly this is the day that the Lord has made. I shall rejoice and be glad in it. This is the day that the Lord has made. I shall rejoice and be glad in it. This is the day that the Lord has made. I shall rejoice and be glad. be glad in it. Amen. Amen. We want to thank you for all of our guests, amen, who have come and visited with us today, those who may be listening in on our broadcast, those who may be in the parking lot listening, those who have come by. And we want to thank God for the ministry of following God and following the vision with our evangelistic Sundays. Our Jersey Sunday is in the fall, and our Colors Sunday, Evangelistic Sundays, is in the spring. But I want to thank God, and I want to thank God for those who follow the vision. We see some faces that came last week that are back this week. Amen. Amen. So we thank God for evangelism and reaching out. And those who come back, we want to let you know we love you and we appreciate you. Amen. Amen. And we're going to try to act right. I can't say we're going to act right all the time. Amen. I'm not going to act right all the time, but I'm going to try to act right. Amen. Amen. We thank you and we love you on today. We're ready for a word on today. If you have your Bibles, the Gospel of John, the Gospel of John, New Testament, the Gospel of John, the Gospel of John, chapter 1. Gospel of John, chapter 1.
Jesus, you are the center of my joy, Jesus.
John chapter 1, John chapter 1, starting at verse 14, and I'll be reading through verse 18. John chapter 1, I'll be reading verses 14 through 18. King James Version is what I shall be reading from. Amen. If yours sounds different, that'd be the reason why. Gospel of John chapter 1, verse 14 reads as follows, King James Version. And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. We beheld his glory, the glory as the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. John bare witness of him and cried, saying, this was he whom I spake. He that cometh after me is preferred before me, for he was before me. And his fullness have all we received, and grace for grace. Verse 17, for the law was given by Moses, but grace and truth came by Jesus Christ. Verse 18, no man hath seen God at any time, the only begotten Son, which is in the bosom of the Father, he hath declared him. Amen. Amen. You may be seated in the presence of our God. I want to touch for prayerfully about 17 and a half minutes. If I can just touch this a little bit, the fullness of grace and truth. The fullness of grace and truth. I'm going to be in scripture as always and talk about grace and truth. The fullness of grace and truth. I don't know where you are in your journey with the Lord right now, but you're going to need this at some point if you don't need it right now, is we live in a society of what have you done for me lately? Help me, somebody. somebody has done something great, and it may have been 5 minutes ago, 5 years ago, 5 decades ago. And if we look at it, if it had not been for them making a sacrifice or doing something extraordinary or even basic on our behalf, we would not be able to enjoy the lifestyle that we are living today. So I want to remind us, those of us who have a "what have you done for me lately" thought process, is I want to remind you that God has given you grace and truth through Jesus Christ. You may be bent out of shape. You may be mad because stuff is not going your way. But I've learned that when you walk with God, it's not about going your way. It's about going God's way. And when you go God's way, not only will he give you what you need, but he'll give you everything, everything of grace and truth, and also give you your wants. But the wants according to his will. I remember coming up at I was 16 years old, and me and my father, we did what we have done, and we went, and he taught me. The father takes the son to the car lot and looks around the town on the for sale signs. And he said, "What car do you want? And we're going to get this car." And because he loves me, it fit his budget. But because he loved me, he asked me, somebody ought to catch this, "What color do you want?" I was getting a car, and he was going to provide a car for his convenience, because he got tired of taking me to football and all that. But he was getting a car. But because he loved me, he asked a simple question. You have some options. What color do you want? And I want to remind you that you may not always get what you want, but God loves you and he gives you what he needs, and he may allow you to get some little amenities along the way simply because he loves you. Somebody's still not with me. You ask God, "Can you give me some bread?" And he gave you a loaf. You ask God for a glass of water, and he gave you a pitcher. Somebody's still not with me. You asked the Lord for a house when you was in an apartment. Now you got 4 bedrooms and 3 baths. Come on, talk to me, somebody. You said, "Lord, I'm going here and there. I need transportation." And you was trying to get that little hoopty going and had them jump cables. Come on, somebody. Out of habit, I can call somebody right now, but out of habit, I still got my jumper cables back in my trunk. Somebody know what I'm talking about? Amen. Don't matter if the transmission fell out or not, I'm still going to try to jump that car. Amen. Amen. But I am reminded that God takes care of us, and he's not a "what have you done for me lately" God. And today, as we gather here in worship to listen and hear and delve into the word of God, there is a profound mystery and revelation found in this text of verse 14 through 18 of chapter 1, Gospel of John. This passage opens up and lets us know a big word that we use called incarnation. The incarnation of Jesus Christ reminds us that he has done some things in the past, but we are still benefiting from what God has done in the present. The word which is Jesus was made flesh. And this invites us to explore the depths of God's grace and his truth in our lives. It's brought through Jesus Christ. Nobody can turn water into wine like Jesus. Nobody can feed over 1,000 with 2 fishes and 5 loaves of bread like Jesus. Nobody can allow somebody to walk on water like Jesus. And nobody can die on the cross and be rose again on the 3rd day to save our souls. Again, nobody but Jesus. So when I look at the benefits of being a part of the kingdom of God, I'm looking at my 401k, my heavenly 401k. I look at it and I got benefits. I've got interest. God has taken care of me that when I don't feel like getting up early in the morning, I'm looking at my problems and my crisis. Oh, I can go back to my heavenly 401k and see that I've got grace and I've got truth, and all I got to do is just get a hold of my benefits. As we journey through these verses, let us open our hearts to the transformation of God's power through the word of God. Has anybody?
Anybody ever been down? But you read Psalm 23:1, the Lord is your shepherd. And that turned around your day. The word of God gives you power, gives you direction. Give me just a few more minutes here. I feel like preaching. I'm warning somebody. I feel like preaching. Hey, 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 hey. I feel like preaching this morning. Here in this text, we want to look at some things. I want to look that God dwells with me. In other words, God is with me. God is dwelling among us. Incarnation. Can I look at that? God dwells with me. As I read this text, I was encouraged that no matter where I am, God is still dwelling with me through Jesus. Then the next thing I said, well, not only is he dwelling with me, but there's grace and truth there. It's personified. It's made real. It's nothing that it's just an idea or a thought, but Jesus is real. For I can feel him. Oh, help me, somebody. Deep within. Then if you give me just a few more minutes, I'm going to close this thing with grace upon grace. So here, as we look at these, this is a part of the Gospel of John, and it's introducing a very crucial understanding of Christian beliefs. And this is about who Jesus Christ truly is and Jesus's relationship with God. Now, the same relationship that Jesus has shown with God, we can get some of that. Jesus was obedient unto God. We can get some of that through obedience. Jesus said, nevertheless, not my will, but thine be done. When we say, nevertheless, not my will, but thine be done, we can get some of that relationship. If you want some of God, if you want to grow with God in relationship, you can get some of that. All you have to do is obey and trust. Gee, I'll preach if I got to preach all by myself, because I want some of that. I've had some of that stuff in the world and it run out. I've had some good times on Monday and Wednesday, and I'm not going to stand before you that I always acted right. I've had some good times on Saturday night and get up and come up in the church. Amen. But God has been good, and I want some of Jesus. And the gospel of John is written to help us, because it's written in the early time of the Christian community when they are trying to distinguish or decide which is which. Are they going to be Jews or are they going to be Christians? They're going to stay with the atonement and being right through the law by sacrificing animals. Oh, that poor dove. Oh, that poor lamb. Right now, I get lamb chops. Amen. But they was chopping that thing up to be right with God. But when Jesus came, he was like, you don't have to kill anything. You don't have to get all bloody murdery. You don't have to do that. All you have to do is have faith. And they were struggling with this. Do I stay with doing it by my own efforts, being right with God with my own efforts? Or do I walk in a new standard that righteousness is through faith, not by what I do? And can I take a little exit? I'm going to get back on. Amen. Somebody help me chase this rabbit. But sometimes we act just like, we just act like an early church sometimes. We forget sometimes that we have Jesus, and it's not by our efforts. It's not by what we do. It's by believing that God can do all things, even save our soul, even move mountains, even make a way when there is no way. It's not by what I do, but it's by God's grace. And true. So as I look at this passage, the statement says the word. Somebody says the logos, the word of God. And as I look at this, that word, that logos, became flesh and then dwelt among us. Now I have to look at this, because this logos, this concept of dwelling among us, is both for the Jewish and the Greek folk. In the Jewish tradition, the word of God was associated with God's creative and revelatory power. In the Greek philosophy, it was all about theories and ideas. And in these writings of the Logos, Logos was seen as a rational principle, just another thought of an ordered way of the universe. But looking and identifying Jesus as the word made flesh makes the word real in the life of those who are reading it. Is there somebody here, you know that Jesus is real? You know that God's word is real? Yes, it is. It's real, y'all. I tell you, it's real. It's a theological claim that God's word is real. It's a revelation of God. Jesus is a revelation of God. It's divine, it's godly, as well as human. You're just not talking about it, but our Jesus is real. Yeah, as I look at this, I realize some things. And the first thing that I realize is that this passage reflects the early Christian belief in Jesus as the incarnate Word of God. That it surpasses previous revelations and fulfilling both Jewish and Hellenistic expectations of what divine wisdom or thought is, and the presence of those things that are unseen. It was written in a time where there was theological development. The church was still growing. The community of God, the faith community, was developing and shaping and aiming to affirm that Jesus is real. And I want to tell you that we're still struggling. Somebody still have doubt that Jesus is not real. But I want to let you know he's real. He's real. If it had not been for the Lord on my side, I tell you today, I don't know where I would be. I've had some long nights. I've had some long evenings. I've had some midnight hours. I've had some valleys. And if it had not been for me calling on the name of Jesus, I confess my sins and he made me right. So I got to look at this. This is good to look at this thought of Logos and Word becoming real and actually becoming tangible, something I can put my hands on. So my first point is that God dwells with us. Is talking about this incarnation, that God dwells with us. And I want to make it personal. God dwells with you. Can I say it to this side? God dwells with you. The Word, the Bible says that the Word, 14, and the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. Isn't that what it said? You got your Bible? Somebody got their Bible? You got your Bible, look down the screen. It said, and the Word was made flesh and what? Dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory. The glory as of the only begotten, of the Father, full of grace and truth. And the Word, it says, became flesh and made his dwelling among us. The verse speaks of the profound mystery of what we call God becoming flesh, which is Jesus Christ's incarnation. Where the eternal Word, which is Jesus, took on human form and lived among humanity. He breathed in and breathed out oxygen. He had to wear clothes just like you wear clothes. When you pinched him, it hurt just like when somebody pinched you. When you go through emotional ups and downs, Jesus knows what it means to be human and have emotional ups and downs. See, those in the Bible times that would serve out of God, there's no feeling from an out of God. Matter of fact, they just go up to a tree and cut down a branch off that tree and cut that tree up, and then they start a little fire, and then where there's some leftover wood, they want to shape it into something and then say, that's my God. But you ain't got to shape our God. You don't have to go and find our God on the tree. Our God made the tree. Our God called the tree in existence. And as we look at this, the incarnation is very important to understand where God chose to enter our world. He didn't have to do it. He could have stayed separate, but he chose to enter our world. And he's not a distant God. He's not a still God. But as a God, he is for us. He could have started over when we sinned in Genesis. He could have started all over. Yeah, I don't know about you. If you ever had some projects and it just looked so bad it didn't turn out, that you just started all over. I'm meddling. Anybody been in a relationship, it was just so bad you just started? Help me, somebody. Been in some stuff, some jobs and stuff, and it just wasn't going right. It's just time to just what? Start all over. I need to get this over. I got to get it off my chest, Reverend. I know it don't apply, but I got some family. You can't choose your friend. You can choose your friends, but you can't choose your family. I wish there was some family I could just start off. Oh, don't y'all tell nobody I said that, eh? Amen. But as we look at this, as we look at this, it demonstrates God's love for us and his desire to be intimate with us and be involved in our lives. And what that means is, since Jesus is involved and he came in human flesh, and in Acts, if you read now, he's an advocate. He's gone to heaven and he's on the right side of God being an advocate, speaking up on your behalf, that Jesus is real and he is involved in your life. When you cry, he knows. When you're hurt, he knows. When you're misused, he knows. When you're sick, he knows. When you're lost, he knows. When you don't feel like going on, he knows. Because our God is real, for I can feel. Oh, somebody ought to help me. So I need to look at this verse 14 and recognize that this is important, that God dwells among us. Because this lets us know that there's no reason why somebody should be celebrating and worshiping something that looks like a bird, or a human being, or a job that can lay you off right now. Amen? Amen. Y'all looking at me funny, but folk only care so much about you. They'll send you up in church right now, and they'll send you an email, sorry, thank you for your service, and they will lay you off quicker than quick. Y'all can get quiet. Come on now. And we're putting all this loyalty in this stuff down here on earth. But God can keep you, not just here on earth, but when you transition, you can have a place with God in heaven through Jesus Christ, because he knows all that you need. So recognize that it's important that Jesus dwelled among us, and embrace the closeness of God's presence in your daily life. What I'm trying to say is, he's there. Look to your left. It's not your neighbor. Look to your right. No, no, it's not your neighbor. Look to your back. Oh, no, it's not your neighbor or the wall. Look to your front. No, it's not even me. Yeah, it's Jesus who is right there. His presence, his spirit is right there, keeping and sustaining. And every now and then you have to call his name and tell him what you want. Jesus is on the main line. Call him up. Tell him what you want. His line is never busy. Call him up. Tell him what you want. As we move forward in this text, let us consider how the incarnation reveals the fullness of God's grace and truth through Jesus Christ. That Jesus Christ is always now with us because he understands our humanity. He understands that you're going to get upset, that you're going to get hurt, you're going to have some ups and some downs. So I want a Savior that knows me, not from the outside in, but from the inside out. The next thing is grace and truth. Grace and truth. The revelation here in this text that there's some grace and truth. If you look there at verse 14, I can't touch it all, but it says that he was only begotten. He was born of the Father, full of what? Grace. You still got your Bible? Come on, don't fool a preacher now. Verse 14, John chapter 1, verse 4, it says that, and the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us and beheld his glory, the glory as the only begotten of the Father, full of what? Grace and truth. Somebody with me. And Jesus came full of grace and truth. Through him, watch this, grace and truth are not things that are not real, just ideas or philosophies like those who were Greek would think. It's not just a good thought for discussion out in the courtyard. This means that Jesus is real. God's grace and his truth is real concept, and is really personified or made real in the life of Jesus Christ and the ministry of Jesus Christ. Grace and truth are perfectly balanced in Jesus. It's right there. Grace and truth is right there. If you need some grace, meaning some kindness, some allowance, just call on Jesus. If you need some truth, just call on Jesus. Somebody's still not with me. I pay bills. I don't know about you. You got any bills? And there's some people that love to take advantage of. It's there. I don't. I try not to. There may be a day where I need it, but there's something called the grace period. And some folk use it and don't need it. Amen. 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 I was talking to a friend and I said, my bill is due on the 5th of the month. And they said, well, it really ain't due till the 15th. I said, well, we at the same place. All the bill due on the 5th of the month. No, that grace period is the 15th. So they ain't looking at the due date. They looking at the grace period. Help me, somebody. But I won't let you know, stop looking at the grace period. Act right now. Do what you need to do for the Lord. Now, God gives you grace. God gives you peace. But don't just be acting on any kind of way when you know you can do right. Now, there's some that need that grace period to actually get right. But if you know right, do right. Amen. Amen. You know there's some folk that are taking advantage of that grace period. But that ain't none of my business. Let me keep on moving. Is that Jesus offers grace, unmerited favor of God. Meaning you got the favor of God. He looks beyond your blemishes. Mm-hmm. He looks beyond your faults. While he also has truth, the ultimate reality of God's nature and his will, that God is truth. There is no lie in Jesus. Jesus tells it the way it is. Jesus is right. Amen. Jesus is everything that is righteous. That there is no in between. There is no little lie with Jesus, with God. There is no, well, I was kind of doing the right thing. I kind of made a mistake. With God, it's either you're right. Oh, I didn't get no amens on that. It's either you're right or you're wrong. Now, I wasn't messing with you. Either you're right or you're wrong. But if you realize that you're wrong, you ought to praise God for Jesus because his blood can cover your wrong. And make you right, make you right, make you right. And this two thing here, this dual thing going on of God's grace and truth is important for understanding who God is. Not only does he give you a grace period, his unmerited favor, that he looks beyond your faults and your needs, and he looks and gives you exactly where you're at. He's the God that not only has the grace, but he has the truth. He does not lie. He has righteousness. So embrace this grace, embrace this truth in your life, and God will supply and give you everything. This last thing, grace upon grace, in verse 16, it says, and his fullness have all received grace for grace. With this grace of grace from his fullness, we all receive grace upon grace. This verse highlights the abundance and overflowing nature of God's grace, his unmerited favor given to us through whom? Jesus Christ. The phrase grace upon grace means an ongoing, never-ending supply of God's grace. And that's what I want to share you. You may be talking to God right now and say, what have you done for me lately? I'm dealing with these bills. He paid your bills in the past. He'll take care of you now. God, what have you done for me lately? Going through some relationship stuff. Well, he had you in some good relationships in the past. He can take care of them relationships right now, asking God, what have you done for me lately? Having some turbulence on the job and dealing with this and that, sickness and other stuff. And you may be asking in your own way, God, what have you done for me lately? Matter of fact, I had the plan that when I was this age, I would have this and that, and life would be easier. I'd be sitting in Jamaica somewhere on the beach. God, what have you done for me lately? Well, me, little old preacher here on the corner, want to let you know that he has given you grace. That's what he's done for you lately. He's outpoured his unmerited favor on your life, even in the midst of your crisis and even in the midst of your low points. There's grace upon grace. There's outpouring grace in spite of what you've done, in spite of what you've thought, in spite of where you've been or where you are right now. You've got God's grace, a never-ending supply of grace. Something you didn't even order, God just gave it to you. I'm through, but I made a mistake one time, and I did an automatic order. amen. I push the button there on automatic order. And every month it would come about the 18th of the month to put it right there on my porch for me to get. And I realized in that garage that stack kept on getting higher and higher and higher. It was paper towels, y'all. But then one day the kids got fooling around with them little He-Mans and all that kind of stuff and stuffed up the toilet there, and there was a leak in my house. And I was complaining, I got all this toilet paper, I got all this automatic order, and I need to stop this order. But before I stopped it, I realized that I did not know that there was going to be some floods in my house, that there was going to be some stuff in my house. And because I had that stacked up, all I had to do is go to the garage and be able to put it on the floor and suck up the mess that was made in my house. And I'm talking to somebody today. Don't you forget about God's grace. You may not think that you need it, but keep on living. You need God's grace. There's going to be some floods. There's going to be some crisis. There's going to be some hang-ups in your life. And all you have to do is reach up to heaven and grab His grace. Is there some saints in the house that need some grace? Well, if you got a little strength in your arm, just reach up and grab God's grace. Or somebody catch it on. Just reach up and say, I got it. I got God's grace. Help the preacher out one more time. Reach up and grab God's grace. Somebody dealing with some health stuff, just reach up your hand and grab God's grace. Maybe your money funny. Just reach up and grab God's grace. Maybe your name has been dragged through the mud. Just reach up and grab God's grace. Live in awareness and know all the time that God has grace. And it's a never-ending supply of grace. When you're sick, God's grace is there. When you're lost, God's grace is there. When you're hurting, God's grace is there. When you need a friend, God's grace is there. And you got to trust in God's grace. You got to trust in God's unmerited favor. Because I've discovered this simple thing, that the Lord is all right. I've discovered it, church, that the Lord is all right. I had some good days, and I said, the Lord is all right. I've had some bad days, and I had to reach up and grab God's grace, and I've discovered that God is, He's all right. He's all right. He's all right. Yes. Yes. He's all right. And can I get at least 6 witnesses? And I'll make the 7th. Is the Lord all right? Is the Lord all right? If you need some grace, go ahead and grab God's grace. He's all right. He's all right, I tell you. In the midnight hour, in noonday, and right now, God's grace never ends. So in conclusion, John 1, verse 14 through 18 invites you and me to behold the mystery and majesty of the Word that was made flesh, who is Jesus Christ. Through the incarnation, Jesus reveals the fullness of His grace and the fullness of His truth. There is no lie in Jesus, and there's an endless supply of His grace. Then you can truly say, if it had not been for the Lord, if it had not been, that's a grace statement. If it had not been, well, you can sit there like you've always done right and you've always said the right thing and as if you treated everybody right. But I'll be the first to admit that I'm a part of the all. I'm the A-L-L. All have sinned and fall short. Hey, hey, hey. So seek God and reveals the fullness of God's grace and truth that offering us grace upon grace to live a transformed life. Just because you have God's grace, don't you make it. and say, well, I got time. I got to keep on getting time. And then when I'm on my deathbed, I'll go ahead and say, Lord, forgive me. Can I let you know that you may not have a deathbed? He just may call you up and you ain't got no time. So you better act right. Right now. This week, my brothers and sisters, take time to reflect on the fact that God sent Jesus Christ and what that means for your life. Grace and truth, what does that mean for your life? But right now, I want to let you know what that means is that Jesus is the Savior. Jesus is the Savior. He died on Calvary's cross for the atonement of your sins. His dead body was placed in the tomb, and by the power of God, he was resurrected for you and for me. You're living in the grace. It rains on the just and the unjust. You're living in the grace, but accept that grace. Accept that truth that Jesus is the divine that has become. He's the flesh that become human, and he is the Savior, the atonement of our sins. If you accept Jesus Christ, we want to invite you right now, my brother and my sister, to receive him as your Savior. You can come down or you can raise your hand. If there's one, my brother, my sister, if you do not have a church home and you would like this to be your church home, you can raise your hand on today and come down and raise your hand. Is there one, my brother? Is there one, my sister? We invite you right now. This day. Thank you for your grace. Thank you for your truth. Thank you for Jesus, who is divine, who became flesh for each and every one of us. Now by the grace of God, sweet communion of His Holy Spirit, rest on mind with each and every one of us. Let us all say together, amen. Amen. Go with God's grace. Go with God's truth.